Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Mallory's Weird World Adventures, the podcast. I'm your host, Mallory, and I'm here to show you just how weird this world of ours really is. Unfortunately, today it's just me. I do not have Michael because he has come down with a case of working too much. So it's just me today. And I'm going to tell you guys about our latest endeavor, filming Weird World Adventures, the TV show for season 2. One of the episodes we are focusing on this year is celebrating the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And what better place to do that is there than to go to Washington, D.C.? So we have an episode highlighting the strange and unusual, wonderful and weird and obscure places that you can find in Washington, D.C. And I got to go up there with my BFF Jimmy, who, I don't know if you've seen him. You know what? You did see him in Weird World Adventures. He was with us on the road trip for the first several episodes, and he was with me on the giant game of Monopoly. I got him kind of forced in there for that. So you did see him in episode 2. He was around to help out, as was Pavlo, who was definitely on and off screen there a bit for season 1. And I got to reunite with Elizabeth Saint, and it's so wonderful to see her. She's actually kind of up in that area near DC, so that was great to get to kind of see her area up there. And we had an epic adventure. It started, and I'm so proud to say this, you know, I'm always surprised by all of the wonderful places that want to be included in Weird World Adventures. I'm so humbled and grateful just for the caliber of places that we get every episode. And this episode is no different. I am so honored to tell you that we got to film at the Library of Congress, which was really exciting. In order to celebrate, you know, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, there wasn't a better place, I feel like. I mean, for me, I'm just such a book nerd, so getting to go to the Library of Congress was very, very exceptional. We got to go before they opened, and it was a whole ordeal. Had to go through these massive layers of security to, you know, to get through. But it was an adventure. It was great. We're probably going to go back at some point. They have a lot of events they invited us to. And there's also the Two Georges exhibit that's coming in March that will kind of provide, you know, some preparation for the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. But for now, we got to check out their treasures collection, and it was very cool. They had a handful of items that were in Abraham Lincoln's pockets when he was assassinated. So it was kind of cool to get to see what was in his pockets. Like, what would he have in him on just a normal day out? Because that's what it was to him. And, you know, it was things like eyeglasses, a handkerchief, a pocket watch that were interesting. And then there was things like a Confederate note, which they thought was gifted to him, which was kind of neat. So there were some interesting, you know, just a cool piece of history, a very slice of time there that's cool to see. And then, of course, the reason that I wanted to go see the exhibit, which was just exhilarating, was they had one of the maps that Lewis and Clark were working on when they crossed the country with Sacagawea. So kind of getting to see the cartography of that map was very cool. And they had a bunch of different, you know, maps and early country maps, which were just really exciting for the explorer in me. I was very happy about that. And it had just timeless collections of treasures from the archive throughout, you know, our country's history that were just very grounding to get to see, I guess. They even had some notes from production notes from Rodgers and Hammerstein working on Sound of Music. And there was a aha moment that she highlighted that I really liked, you know, in the Do Re Mi song where, you know, it wasn't quite complete. And you can see this just aha, where he then adds in, oh, and that will bring us back to dough at the end. That wasn't there, that was like handwritten in, like aha, like it just seemed like this great moment etched in on a script that was incomplete, which is, you know, just that living form of history, to kind of get to see it and have it tell its story to you is really very empowering and interesting. The music for the collection was just very upbeat and unique and just very dramatically shifted through time periods. It all just came together so nicely. And then I didn't even realize, kind of at the time, I had a conversation with Michael about this later, that they had the golden records that went off into space that were sent out by Carl Sagan, had headed that project. And there were two of them that went out, and then we kept the third. And, you know, it has greetings for whoever might find it out in space. So, you know, the aliens, in case they ever, you know, find it. And it was interesting to see how each country would greet these, you know, aliens. And one of them, my favorite one, it starts off with, "Hi, have you eaten yet today?" So just that emphasis on food, it's very warm and funny to me, because I guess, you know, I would appreciate that greeting. I'm all about the food. So it was just fascinating to kind of get that perspective, I guess, on what different countries valued and what they thought was welcoming and warming in a greeting. So really, it's going to be a great episode. There, you know, we interviewed one of their curators there, and it was really just very interesting and very exciting, and I'm really happy that we got to do that interview. I'm sorry if words are kind of lost for me. It's been a very long day, but I'm trying to keep it together here for you guys. Then we went to the International Spy Museum, which has been in a new building for a while here. It's very large, very impressive. It was packed. It was a very cool display. We got to see some of the highlights just throughout the history of espionage. And, you know, shoes that have little phone devices hidden in them, and, you know, disguise kits. And there was a really fun hanging bar activity, and I'm not going to brag, but I definitely had this crazy long record for hanging longer than pretty much anybody else that they've seen in a long time, like almost a minute, just hanging there. It was pretty good. I think it was 40 seconds, but it was pretty good. I hung on that bar for solid 40 seconds. It was pretty cool. You know, they kind of like try to shake you off, and you got to stay on. And then we climbed through Event, you know, which is exciting for me. I always wanted to climb through Event before, although I feel like Event would be much smaller than what it wound up being. But it was very exciting to get to do that. And I think the most interesting part for me about the Spy Museum is that, you know, film and media was in fact inspired by, you know, the history of espionage and spies, and obviously we love James Bond and all these great movies about it. But kind of circling back, it's a fluid cycle, because the espionage world was also inspired by films. They, in fact, on the other side, kind of took from these movies and ideas in the movies, and does this work? Does this not work? So it all kind of influenced itself cyclically, circularly. Cyclically. Words are fun. So, you know, it started on, some of them started in real life happening in the world of espionage behind closed doors, and then they made movies about it. And then some of it, the movies just made it up, and then they tried it, you know, in the world of undercover agents. And it's very cool to see how that influences, I guess, itself back and forth. And then they had some very cool secret message hidden carriers, like an iron that you could hide messages in, that actually worked. So if you turned it on because you got caught, it would burn the message inside. And a tiny little walnut that had a message in it, that was pretty exciting. And then the sniff jar was really, they had these chairs that you would sit on to be interrogated in, not actually in the, you know, exhibit, but they told you about this, that you would sit in a chair and someone would interrogate you and really make you sweat, and it would be, you know, an intense, not pleasant situation. And then you'd probably sweat down into your chair, and then they would come and they would cut out the cloth of the chair and stick it in a jar, and then have like a smell jar, a Mallory smell jar that's now here. And then they would have it, so if they needed to track you down, you know, these dogs could smell it and track you down. So they had a lot of interesting, disturbing, fascinating things that have kind of existed through the world of espionage. It was very exciting, very cool to see. That was where I reconnected with Elizabeth, and, you know, it's been too long. It's been far too long, but it was wonderful. Every time I see her, it's like we haven't missed each other. You know, we saw each other yesterday. You know, it's like we're always right on the same wavelength, and we had a great time. We went to get lunch from there just really fast, and we happened to get stuck. So here I am thinking, oh, I'll just turn a street early. It'll be totally fine. And I think my GPS hadn't quite connected fully because I was really actually turning on the street I was supposed to turn on. And there was this truck, like a full-size truck, trying to back up into an alley, except it was a one-lane street. So it didn't fit. I mean, there was no way it even looked like it was going to fit. So I have no idea what he was thinking. But it had Gordon written quite largely on the side of it. And that made us laugh because my daughter is in a phase right now where she loves Thomas the Tank Engine. So she names anything that she can find Gordon. So Gordon is like a relevant name to our life right now because every stuffed animal is Gordon. Every toy is Gordon. Everything is Gordon. And this truck was actually named Gordon. It had Gordon written all on the side of it. And Gordon the truck is trying to get into this spot, and it gets stuck. And, you know, we're just having the time of our lives heckling Gordon truck from the car. And at first it was kind of funny, like, Gordon, come on, man, what are you doing? And then it lasted for 15 minutes and it wasn't so funny anymore. And poor Gordon truck is trying really hard to just back up, and he can't do it. And then he tries to get out, and then he's stuck again. And then he tries to back up, and he can't do it. And now he's just stuck here. And we're like, man, we're going to miss lunch because Gordon truck here has had us sitting here for a solid 15 plus minutes. And then, of course, you know, as soon as he finally gets free, yay, we had a spot like, you know, 100 feet in front of us that we just couldn't have quite gotten to. But we had a wonderful lunch, and after the Gordon truck incident, we checked out the Barbie Pond on Avenue Q, which is very cool. It's this little house that has a pond of Barbies that they change up for each season and each holiday, and they dress up the Barbies and put fun little messages and celebrations. So this time it was for Valentine's Day, so all the Barbies were celebrating love. And from there, we went to the Exorcist stairs, because the stairs from the movie The Exorcist, where the priest falls down and dies, they're there in D.C. in a really strange spot. Like, on the bottom side, it's kind of just an abandoned gas station that's not there anymore. And we parked there and went up the stairs to do just a little feature on, hey, these are the stairs from The Exorcist. This is pretty cool. And then we had to splat, you know, down them at the end because we're fun. We're fun like that. Someone put googly eyes on the Exorcist stairs. That was pretty cool, weird, funny. And Pablo saw that and was like, oh, googly eyes. I also potentially tripped up the Exorcist stairs like 4 or 5 times. Shh, it's fine. Yeah, I'm just a mess. But it was a lot of fun. And then we ended the day filming at Planet Word. And Planet Word is a pretty interestingly amazing and interactive place. It's a museum, and it basically plays with language. They're very careful with their words because it's all about language and communication. And there's, you know, interactive displays and exhibits about, you know, words and the power of words and where they come from. And then there's a giant globe in this one room, which is very neat. And, you know, it helps you to learn communication from different sides of the world. You can practice different languages, and it's very interesting. And then they have this room. I thought this was very cool. I'm going to have to go back and do this at some point, where it's kind of like it's a puzzle box. So you can order and plan a puzzle box, and they're all themed, but you know, it's kind of like an escape room, but if you're looking for clues within a box. And, you know, you get this whole set of things inside the box to help you decipher the answer to whatever you're trying to find with your box, which looked really fun and very cool and like something I wanted to go back and do again. I love the interactive puzzles. So I just liked how hands-on everything was in that world. And then personally, my favorite display that they had, they have a library when you go down, and it has like, there's a hidden poetry room, which was very neat. And then there were what looked like mirrors, but if you spoke at the mirrors, they would actually be these little cubbies that had scenes behind them. So if you read the words to it, it would turn on and finish the story, which was very neat. And then they had, you know, an interactive reading station where you brought a book down and you would sit it in this whatever spot, and then it would kind of turn on and read to you what the story was about and project and light up some cool key moments in the book. Like, it was very, it like brings the book to life, which was really my favorite part, because just the interactive library was like from my dreams. It was wonderful. And then they had, you know, this fun karaoke room that broke down the meaning of words and songs, and it was all about communication and language in our words. And it was a very interesting concept for a museum. And I just liked how fun and interactive and playful it was. I mean, it was really an exceptional day. I never quite know, you know, what we're going to experience with Weird World. There's a lot of planning, and, you know, we work a lot with tourism boards, and we get a lot of cool recommendations. And even on the day when I think I know what to expect, I'm always just surprised and blown away. And it was such an honor to get to see the Library of Congress and, you know, talk about their upcoming exhibits and what they have there now, and getting to see some treasures that the Congress has, you know, in their archives out on display. It was very, very cool. And then getting to play in the spy museum and learn about espionage, which was just really fun. And, you know, getting to see Elizabeth, seeing a couple cute little things that are just all out and around DC. And it was very, very exciting. And I'm really excited to go back and do more with the Library of Congress. And I'm very thrilled with how this episode is going to play out. And next month, in March, you're going to get a bunch of live from Germany updates. So there'll be a bunch of podcast updates from Germany as I go down the fairy tale trail for Weird World Adventures, the next episode we're filming for season 2, which will release this fall, is the fairy tale trail in Germany. And we have a very cool lineup of places, including a stay in the castle with the real Rapunzel Tower, which I'm just thrilled for, and I get a tour with Knight Dietrich. So that will be a very exciting adventure, and I'm going to make sure that I'm actively filming our podcast episodes every day so they're fresh and up to date for you guys, just like I did last year when I was in Germany. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And next week, Michael and I have a really fun and interesting topic idea that we're happy to bring you guys. You know, I'm going to give just a little quick intro for it to tease you guys for next week, since this is such a short episode. But, you know, Michael grew up traveling the world, and his parents saw the value in, you know, pulling him out of school and taking him to fun, exciting places occasionally. You know, he grew up in Okinawa for a while his dad was in the military. And, you know, they went over to Thailand and they got to see all these places that I wish I could have been exposed to when I was younger. So we're going to talk about the value of, you know, exposing kids at a young age to different cultures and to travel. And that used to be a sign of education back in Victorian times. And it's something we've kind of lost. So we really wanted to talk about, I guess, education through travel and what that looks like and how that helps with development. So that'll be a really fun episode. That's going to be next week. Thank you guys for tuning in today. I'm sorry this episode's been a little bit shorter, but it has been one heck of a week as I get back from Washington, D.C. filming Weird World Adventures. I can't wait for you guys to see the episode. It's going to be fantabulous. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, everybody, stay weird.